Is God good? That's the series that we are, this is the second Sunday in this series, examining this question. And I raised a lot of questions about that last Sunday, which I hope to address as the weeks go forward here. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week, if you weren't here, just a reminder that all of these recordings are online, so go to our website and check it out. You can either download it there or listen to it streaming online. But yeah, check it out, and not because I necessarily have any profound things to say, but because this is a really important topic for us to examine. I'm going to be making a case that God is good and how that changes everything in our lives and in the lives of people that we know. We're going to be making the case from Scripture, the Word of God, and also be talking about how our experience validates what Scripture says. As I've asked this question of a variety of people, it has been so encouraging for me to hear people's experiences, and they say, yes, I know God is good, and here are some things that He's done in my life. Especially some of the young people that I talked to in our congregation here. I was very encouraged to hear their testimony of God's goodness in their life. But Scripture is the truth, the foundation that we stand on. And so our experience does validate what Scripture says. Also, I'm an engineer at heart, and so logic to me is very important as well. Things need to make sense to me. And my wife probably gets a little frustrated with me sometimes because she thinks in a whole different realm and way than I do, and so sometimes we don't see things the same way. But logic, it needs to make sense. Is God good? And how does all these things in life that are bad, how are all these experiences, how do they line up with the goodness of God? And how do I tell somebody else that? If I have a friend who is asking questions about that. I used to work for Command Alcon in Columbus, and one of my bosses there, we had this discussion all the time, and this is where he would get hung up about God. It's like, you say God is good, but I see all of these things in the world that are not good. How could a good God allow those things to happen? And so we need answers for people. And yes, we know we don't have all of the answers for people, and Scripture doesn't tell us everything. But there are answers that we can give people that make sense, that are in God's Word, that are logical, they make sense to me. And so we look at it from a logical standpoint as well. What is our view of the world and how it works? So we're going to be exploring this question, if God is good, why is there so much bad in the world? Is a primary question we're going to be looking at. And I raised a lot of scenarios last week. I'm sure that you have your own scenarios in your life or those close to you or in the world that you wonder sometimes that question. And before we dive into that, we have to recognize that God is a huge mystery, isn't He? He's a huge mystery. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent everywhere. He's sovereign. He always existed. He's all-knowing. And we could go on and on about the characteristics of God. But we have to realize in all of that, that our finite minds will never, I don't believe, ever comprehend all of God. It's impossible, I think, for us to understand all there is to know about God. We would be overwhelmed immediately. And so, but there are a lot of things that we can know about Him, and we can know a lot about Him from God's Word. And so we have the privilege of digging into God's Word and seeing many things that we can learn and understand about who God is. So back to the question, if God is good, why is there so much bad in the world? And I want to go back and start at the very beginning. Back in Genesis chapter 1, if you have a Bible with you or a device that you can turn to, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to touch on various parts in Genesis chapter 1 as a reminder of who God is. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. Very familiar to many of us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And my title for my message this morning is God's Good Creation. You can write that in the bulletin. My wife and I had a misunderstanding. So God's Good Creation is the title of my message this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And initially, I listen to that and I think, now, isn't that sovereignty? What do you think? Is that sovereignty? Somebody that can create everything that we know and understand in the universe? I think that's sovereignty. We're going to jump down here. So if you have a pen or a marker, I want to encourage you to highlight or underline in your Bible a phrase. First, we're going to look, and I'm going to turn here as well, in verses 3 to 5. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Don't you like that? God said, "Let there be light." There's light. I wish I could do that sometimes with things, but I can't. But God can. And God saw that light was good. Saw that the light was good. And I want you to underline or highlight that phrase. He saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then let's go down to verse 9 and 10. I'm going to skip over some of these. God said, "Let waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let dry land appear." And he called the dry land earth, and the waters he called the seas. And I want you to underline and highlight this phrase. And God saw that it was good. And we drop down to verse 11. God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit, trees bearing fruit in which there is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And I'm going to drop down in verse 12, highlight this phrase, "And God saw that it was good." And I want to just point out a few of these pictures. They come from our trip. I think all of them do. This is in Northern California, where you see the redwoods, drive through the redwoods, just astounding trees that just stretch. You seem so small compared to these trees that have been here how many years? I'm not sure. Just an incredible. I think the one before, was there one before that? Yes, this is in Colorado, up in the mountains of Colorado in the aspen trees, a beautiful mountain meadow that we hiked through. And I would have to say, as we were looking at these things, it was good. It's definitely good. We could understand what is being said here. All right, down to verses 14 to 18. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And if we drop down, he calls those lights, made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. So we have the sun and the moon. This was one picture of the moon coming up as we were coming back home from actually our day in South Dakota that I talked about last week. And another one out over, I think that's Utah Lake, is that right? Not Oregon, okay, that's in Oregon. And then in Oregon, we got to see these two things come together. The sun and the moon, a full eclipse. This isn't my picture back there, but because my pictures didn't turn out when I tried to take a picture of it. But we could actually like take our glasses off and look at the sun for about a minute and a half as it was hidden primarily by the moon. And it was an amazing sight. Here's like, you kind of saw like a 360 sunset around you. And let's see, the next picture, I don't know if you can pick this out, but about a minute before the total eclipse, the shadows through the trees would form these crescents. Can you see these crescent shapes? All of the shadows would form these crescents. Like, it was just like the last minute before the total eclipse. Some amazing things that we were able to see, and God created all of that. Verse 20 through 23, God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. And God created those things. And once again, verse 21, if you could highlight the phrase, and God saw that it was good. Down to verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts. Oh, yeah, I want to go back to the other one. Yeah, there's my picture from last week. Go back a couple slides. This was on the coast of Oregon. And I don't know if you've ever seen like a, where are these again? Sea lion, thank you. But we had stopped at a cape. We were looking at, there was like hundreds out on an island just off the coast, and they were making such a din. And I was like, I would like to see one up close. So I climbed down the steep cliff. Doris did not want to go with me. There was like probably an illegal trail. But anyways, I found a trail and climbed down and was walking on the beach. And I saw one far away, kind of on a point. And I was watching that very intently. And all of a sudden, something made a noise like right at my feet. And here was the sea lion right there. I thought it was a log. And anyway, so the sea lion, and then the next picture, this was on the Oregon coast as well, and probably one of my favorite places where we were able to go out in the tide pools is Cannon Beach, Oregon, and I don't think I've ever seen as many starfish and creatures on the rocks as we saw in this place. It was just astounding to me to see, and to think that we have a creator God who designed and made all of those things meticulously. It's just an incredible thing for me to think about or to try and comprehend. And I don't think any of us would argue that it's good. God's creation is good. Let's see, where was I? Verse 20. No, is that right? 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so, and once again we have the phrase in verse 25, and God saw that it was good. And we showed you some buffalo last week. They were like right beside our vehicle. It was really cool. And of course my favorite, bighorn sheep. This is good. And then we have the highlight of his creation, really. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And then verse 31. And you can highlight this whole verse. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Do you suppose God was surprised? Like, hey, I'm going to try and make some things, and wow, look at that. Turned out pretty good. I mean, I'm surprised sometimes when I make things like that, and I'm like, look at that. Other times, I'm not surprised. Yeah, it turned out as bad as what I thought it was going to turn out. But I don't think God was surprised. These statements remind us of who God is, the very essence of who God is. From the very beginning, he is good. It is his very nature. He is the source of all goodness. So anything that he does by nature must be good. His creation is good, all of it. So back to my question. What happened? What happened? We could talk a long time about that. I'm just going to highlight a couple things. Problem number one, Satan. He's made a mess of things. And I want us to understand, Satan is real. It's not some figment of our imagination. I know in a couple weeks, you're going to have probably little kids knocking on your door, and they're going to have maybe a suit with little horns and a tail. Probably see a costume like that. pitchfork. But Satan is real, and actually Scripture doesn't describe him that way at all. He appears early in Scripture, Genesis chapter 3, just a couple chapters later, we have him described as the crafty serpent. Maybe a more accurate Halloween costume if you want to dress that way. The crafty serpent. He's a deceiver. We see right away in chapter 3, he deceives Eve. He makes her disbelieve God and what God said, disbelieve God's word. He tempts Eve to disobey God and his word. There are many references, well, many is maybe not the right term. There are few references in the Bible to him and his demons. And so we must first understand that he is real. He is a real being, not just something made up. The word Satan actually means adversary. He is the adversary of God. He fights against everything good that God represents. In the New Testament, he's referred to as the devil, which means an accuser or slanderer. And so he is the enemy of all righteousness and goodness. He is the source of all evil. And so a big question that people have, or my friends would have, if we were having this discussion, my non-Christian friends, they would say, so, you say God is good, you say God created everything good, so then where did this guy come from? What would you say to your friends if they were to ask you that question? There's not a lot said in Scripture, actually. But we know some things, don't we? We just came through the creation account, right? We know that God created everything. And so, we know that God created Satan as well. And my friends would say, now wait a minute. You said God created everything good. Yes, I did say that. That's what Scripture says. So, how could he create Satan? Well, Satan was created good originally. He was originally created perfect, as all of creation. But Satan rebelled against God. We don't have much written in Scripture about how that happened. Some of that, a lot of that is a mystery. There's a couple passages that I'm just going to put out for you to look into a little further. I'm not going to talk a lot about them, but Isaiah 14 likely talks about this rebellion of Satan. There's not total agreement by commentators of whether this is referring to, but a lot of agreement that this is probably talking about Satan's rebellion against God. Also, the passage in Ezekiel 28, 12 to 19, starts out referring to the king of Tyre, but seems to refer to a much higher power than just the king of Tyre as that passage continues. And so that passage probably also likely is a reference to Satan's rebellion and his fall from heaven. Revelation 12 is much clearer. Refers to Satan as a dragon who is defeated and thrown out of heaven along with his fallen angels. So I invite you to check out these passages if you want to check a little bit more. We don't have time to explore them in depth this morning. What is my point? Well, none of the evil of this world can be attributed to God. God created everything good. It can't be attributed to him. And Satan deceives many into believing that, but Satan and his demons are the instigators of all evil. And instigators is an important word. We'll get to that in a little bit. A couple reminders from Scripture. 1 John 1, 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. James 1, 17, we talked about last week, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. There is no evil, not even a hint or a shadow of evil in God. It does not exist. God is completely and entirely good. Now, we may not understand God's goodness all the time. You and I might not understand what is happening to us, what is happening in the lives of our close, our loved ones, because we are not everywhere present. We are not. We have not always existed. We are not sovereign. But we know that God is. He sees it all. He knows it all. And we know that He's good. In fact, we have a promise to all believers that God works all things together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, another question as we look at this. So why doesn't the sovereign God just defeat Satan? And we're going to explore that over the next... I'm kind of going to leave that hanging just a little bit because we're going to explore that over the next few weeks. And I'll just say this. He has, He is, and He will. Okay? That's the truth from Scripture. He has, He is, and He will. And as we all know, often God's time frame is different than what our time frame is for things that we think need to happen. So, that's all I'm going to say about Satan this morning. That's problem number one. Problem number two, could anybody guess what problem number two is? Anybody want to venture? There you go. Problem number two is people. Not only has Satan made a mess of things, we've made a mess of things as well. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve listened to Satan's lies. They listened to his deception, his half-truths about God. Satan is always trying to convince us that there's something better than God and his ways. That's his tactic all the time. He's always trying to convince us there's a better way, there's something better, something more good than what God has for you. And so Adam and Eve listened to those lies. So remember, the earth and everything in it was good, very good, perfect, including Adam and Eve, and God made it all that way. But Adam and Eve introduced evil into the world. They believed Satan's deception, and they disobeyed the one who is perfect and good in all ways. They thought that they knew what was better. That they knew what was better than what God said was good. And I don't think really mankind has changed a whole lot since Adam and Eve. What do you think? We still wrestle with this. We still think somehow, some way, as a finite person, that somehow we know what is better or what is best. We know better than God. Somehow, how does that work? I don't know, but we do. I've done it so many times. God, this is the way He says, but no, I know what's better. When we look at the facts, it seems kind of silly, but it's who we are as humans. And so Adam and Eve disobeyed. They rebelled against God. And so we call this time in Scripture, the fall. And what a huge fall it was, from perfect goodness to a world filled with evil. Not at all what God had designed or desired. Why did a sovereign God allow these things to happen? You could say, well, He could have stopped all of that. He could have, not let any of that happen, right? He's sovereign. It's a mystery, and this is an area I feel like is a huge mystery for us, because if you and I were in charge, what would we do? We would lay down the law, wouldn't we? Lay it down if we had the control, the power to do so, the way we think things should happen. But God didn't do that. And so this mystery, I think what we need to understand is that the reasons that God allowed these things to happen, I believe, are primarily back to the truth of who he is, because he is good. Because he is good. He gave us the free will to choose. Can you believe that? He gave us the free will to choose to believe in him or to turn away from him. He gave us that ability. And how does sovereignty and free will work together? I don't know. You tell me how it works. I don't think we'll ever understand that exactly. But I am grateful that God gives us free will, aren't you? Now, I love robots. I've talked about them before, you know, and I actually would like to build one sometime, probably will, sometime in the future, at least some sort of robotic thing. But, you know, I'm glad that I'm not a robot. I'm glad that I'm not just programmed, that I have no choice in what to do with my life or how to live my life, but that God, in his grace, gives me the opportunity to make those choices, even choices that are wrong. Because he desires us to choose him and his goodness. So I'm glad that I wasn't made to be a robot. Every one of us has a choice: to follow God, to believe in him and his goodness, or to choose our own way of disobedience. Back to the story of Adam and Eve at the beginning in creation, when God confronts Eve, what does she say? You know that old phrase, the devil made me do it. Ever hear that before? It's right here at the very beginning. I'm not responsible. He made me do it. But you know what? Satan doesn't have that kind of power. He doesn't. God didn't give him that kind of power. He cannot make us do anything. It's our own choices to believe in him, to believe in his lies. And Adam, he wasn't much better, was he? What did he say? My wife made me do it. Come on, guys. Own up! Own up! And really, I would have to say that to us as a human race. We need to own up. Our choices are our choices. Nobody else made us do them. And yes, some of us have experienced very difficult things in life that have influenced us significantly. But we serve a good God who can redeem any situation and make something good out of it. We do. So we need to own up to who we are, our brokenness. Since the fall, we are all born with a sin nature, set on our own way. And this is largely why this world is such a mess. We cannot blame God for something he never did. We need to own up as a human race to the mess that we've created. One of the guys that I kind of like to follow is Elon Musk. I don't know if anybody else knows that guy. I see one hand, another techie guy in the back. So yeah, Elon Musk. He makes rockets and, yeah, cool cars and stuff like that. But I remember reading something he wrote a while this year, I believe. He said that he believes that artificial intelligence, or robots in a sense, is humanity's biggest existential threat. So imagine, you know, the cool movie or book with the rogue robots. It makes a great story. I love reading those books. But I don't believe he's right. Do you? I don't believe he's right. That is not mankind's biggest threat. Mankind's biggest threat is right in here. Right in here. I believe the human heart, the human heart's propensity for evil, to rebel against God, to find its own way, is our own biggest threat, really, to us and to all of humanity. We don't need robots to kill us off. We're doing a pretty good job by ourselves without those rogue robots. And you know, It would be easy, too, to just blame it all on Satan and say, it's all his fault. It's not my fault. He's the one who's doing all of the terrible things in the world, and he does have significant influence. He has significant power, and we should not take him lightly. He lies, he deceives, he threatens, he accuses, he destroys. But God has limited his power. And he has no real power over us, only what we give to him. That's the power that he has over us. And God has already defined Satan's end. It's defined already. It's going to happen. God's going to take care of him. For good, once and for all. Why hasn't it happened yet? One of my favorite verses, a couple verses, 2 Peter 3, 9, and 10. Why hasn't it happened yet? I'll tell you why. Because God is good. So we're talking about because God is good. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. And this is talking about the judgment of evil and Satan. Not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. There is coming a day when God will judge all evil in the world once and for all. And it will be completely just. And I know we all, there are days where we yearn for that day. We yearn for that day. But God does not desire that any should perish. He desires that all should come to repentance of their sins, turn to him, trust in him, and the way out that he has made through Jesus Christ for salvation, and be saved. He's good. He's made a way of escape, to escape from the evil in our own hearts and the evil in this world. God's judgment will come, and that too will be good and perfect, unlike the justice and judgment that the world tries to exact on each other. God's justice will be completely good and perfect. Back to creation, one of the things that I wanted to touch on that I didn't have time this morning is what about natural disasters? What do we do with that? And so I'm going to write an article on the connection for next month, so watch for that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that subject then, when we talk about God's goodness and the goodness, his good creation. So in closing, what should you do? Well, surprise, surprise, I think you should believe that God is good. Don't attribute any of the evil that happens in this world to God. It's simply not true. Yes, there are many times that we don't understand what God is doing or seemingly isn't doing, but it is not a cop-out to say that he is God and we are not. There is so much that we don't understand about what is going on in the world. And so we need to recognize his greatness. He's so much greater than us, and we need to have faith and believe that he is good, even when we don't understand. We can be sure that whatever he's doing, it is good. A couple verses to leave you with that I think of as a response. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think it's easy to be overwhelmed by the evil in the world, the headlines that keep coming out, the things that are happening. It is difficult for me to hear those and to listen to those and to think about the trouble that people are experiencing in the world. We could get overwhelmed by it. We could be overcome by it. Both the evil that's maybe distant and the evil that is up close in your own life. This world may seem out of control sometimes. But I want to assure you that it isn't. God is sovereign. He is in control. He knows even when we don't know what is going on. And He can be trusted. He can be trusted to be good. That is who He is. As followers of God, I would encourage us to let the goodness of God overflow out of our lives and into this world that so desperately needs to see it. There are so many people around us, whether they're our neighbor next door or around the world, who need to know, they desperately need to know that God is good. And so I think, as I look at this truth, one of the questions that I ask myself, and I think would be good for all of us, is, do I show the world the goodness of God? And I know we're all learning and growing in our faith. But do we show the world the goodness of God? Do we take every opportunity to pour God's goodness out into the world, whether it's our neighbor or whoever it is that God brings into our life? Are we ones that return good for evil? Are we ones that love our enemies instead of kill our enemies? Are we ones that bless those who persecute us? Do we comfort the brokenhearted? Do we feed the hungry? Do we show kindness and compassion to those around us? The Bible is full of what it looks like to show God's goodness to the world. Do we know what that is? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to change us and make us into that kind of person? Is He so good and His message of forgiveness and love so good that we just can't wait to tell people about it so that they might know His goodness as well? To tell them the good news of the gospel. And the last scripture I want to leave you with, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, I know we have to deal with the evil in the world, and we have to deal with evil in our own hearts that we struggle with. But there is so much good in our lives and in the world that God has blessed us with. It's overwhelming. Our trip was just an astounding time for Doris and I, just to step back and enjoy God's creation, His good creation, the goodness of the world. This is one of my favorite pictures of our trip. We were hiking up in the mountains of Colorado. And I just looked around me, and I just like, this is unreal what God has made for us to enjoy. And yes, all the creation has suffered because of the curse, but we see signs all around us of the goodness of God. And so you could go all over with that, but I'd like you to think, dwell on those good things. Don't dwell on the evil that Satan would love you to dwell on and be discouraged and depressed about, but dwell. And I don't mean by that, I don't mean that we don't need to meet people in their places of hurt. We do. We need to go into the world and be there in those difficult places. But our hearts need to dwell on these truths, these blessings that God has given to us. I think of my wife. It's a tremendous blessing from the Lord. My church, it's so good to be home. And I went to a bunch of different churches, and I felt kind of like Goldilocks. It was kind of like, it's a little too cold, a little too hot. But now, it's just right. Anyway, it's good to be home. You could name all kinds of things, big or small, that are good. Dwell on those things. Enjoy them. God gave them to you to enjoy. A good book to read? I don't know. That's just, I have a good one. I just checked out of the library, and I am. This afternoon, I'm going to sit down for a little while. I'm going to read that book. There's a lot of weddings going on in October in our church. We went to one last night of a young couple in our church here. So much fun. Romantic love. Woo! It's fun to be around and to enjoy. I feel like ours got revived big time on our trip. So, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Would you enjoy those gifts and praise the Lord for them? Every day, praise the Lord for his good gifts that he gives and his good creation.